And welcome back to the Roundtable. 12 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Wednesday. Ray in for Joe. It's the Roundtable panel. WAMC's Alan Shartok is here. And you got a new title there, Rosemary Armeo at UAlbany. What are you now?
It's not that new.
You're director of something?
Journalism program.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, that's because nobody else wanted it. One candidate said something about, I'd rather pull my nails out.
You need a little PR counseling here, dear.
Oh, I see. I was going to say, oh, thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the challenge.
And Libby Post is here as well. Libby, welcome back.
Thank you, dear.
The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org if you want to write in with your nasty notes and threats and whatnot. Donald Trump has strengthened his grip on the Republican primary race and pushed tantalizingly close to a general election showdown with Hillary Clinton, the Democratic frontrunner, now 90% of the way to her party's nomination after four solid victories last night. Republican Trump now turns his attention to Indiana, where next week's primary marks one of Senator Cruz's last chances to slow Trump and push the race toward a contested convention. While Trump does need to keep winning in order to stay on his narrow path for the GOP nomination, he declared himself the party's presumptive nominee after the results rolled in last night. Donald headed to Indiana today after delivering a foreign policy speech in Washington. It was a big night for the front runners last night. Very big.
Yep.
So based on the tone of Bernie Sanders, that now his goal is to basically push his ideas all the way to the convention, he's done, right?
Yeah, he's going to stand, but he sees the writing. All right, so I'm having this horrible vision that I want you all to pull me back from the brink. But listening last night to the speeches, it's clear it'll be Trump versus Hillary.
Yep.
And Trump is in such scary control. It took questions, so he managed to get an extra almost an hour of prime airtime, national airtime that he didn't pay for. It was totally a campaign stop against Hillary. I can see him winning. And if that comes, there's all these.
So it's the network's fault if he wins?
It's the reporters' fault that they are giving. They're helping him. He's not the only one. Wait a minute. While I'm saying this, is that he has control over everything, it seems. The party establishment. He's bested. The media, he's bested. He just speaks directly to his own people. He could actually win this. And if he does, what happens then? What that odious, keep out the anybody who's different philosophy actually happens? And Bernie Sanders supporters who don't vote for Hillary because I think she really will be the nominee, she thus is the only one who can stop him, are helping that to happen. I've begun to think that I like the party rules that have prevented the Democrats from turning to extremism. Otherwise, we might be in the same spot as, say, Poland or Hungary, which have taken sharp turns to the right. I'm scared. I think it's a very, very bad image of the United States that I'm
okay,
getting.
Okay, before I let the others have at
Apocalyptic
you, please
happens.
Let me have at you about this whole business of the networks giving Trump extra time.
Yes.
It is compelling TV. You're blaming CNN for saying, well, let's not show Don Lemon tonight.
Let's show Trump. Every reporter I'm blaming, I hate Don Lemon and I would rather watch anything, even Trump, but every reporter who asked a question and extended that should have been thinking, what are we doing?
You're a reporter, though. You ask a question. Isn't that your job?
No. Your job is also to prevent a fair and full picture. No one there thought, wow, we're keeping him on, we're giving him a platform.
Yeah, that's the issue. It's the amount of time that he's getting on the air versus the other candidates.
Well, Hillary was on.
Yeah, but not to the extent that he was on. And so I think as we move towards the general, there will be a more balanced approach. This is still the sensationalism of the primary and the idea that Donald Trump has risen as far as he has. And, you know, I get what you're saying, Rosemary. I have a little more faith in the American voter and in Americans in general. And I do agree, however, about the party rules. I agree that if you're a Democrat, you get to vote in a Democratic primary. If you're a Republican, you vote in a Republican primary. That's what it is to be part of a party and a member. That, you know, membership has its privileges. And I do think that, you know, if God forbid, Trump is elected president, we will have a more divided country than we've ever had before. And he will bring out the worst in us. He will make social media look like a day in the park compared in terms of bullying and all the rest of that stuff. And I think that we will be seen as the laughingstock. It'll be worse than when George W. Bush was president.
Yeah, I have this apocalyptic worry now.
Speaking of the apocalypse, Shartok has been silent the entire program. There must be
something
wrong here.
Now, I'm going to tell you why I've been silent.
Okay.
Because I'm not here. How do I know I'm not here? Because when you introduced the panel, you did not introduce me. You introduced Libby.
I think I did. I did introduce him.
I looked right at Rosemary and I said, I made a motion. Did he?
No, I did.
Rosemary said,
roll the tape back.
Yeah. No, you didn't.
Whatever.
Well, so
it's
I'm
because
not,
you're such a looming presence. You hardly need an intro.
So yeah. I'm not really here. However, I disagree. First of all, there are places that you should both know that in which if you don't get to cast the ballot in a primary, and that's why they make these exclusive rules, you don't have a vote. So there are some states, Libby, you can shake your head, because I'll remember all of this the next time it isn't Hillary Clinton, who's up there. I'll remember your...
I have never advocated for an open primary system.
Okay, no, but I'm not done yet.
Oh, boy.
But I do agree.
Punch him, Libby. Punch him.
But I do agree...
Rosemary's in the way.
...that there is such a thing as sore losers in this kind of thing. And I've been getting a lot of letters. I got overnight letters saying, I heard what you said, that people who like you, who voted for Bernie are not going to vote, are going to vote for Hillary. That's just wrong. I want you to know the only way we're going to solve the corruption in the United States is to do away with that. And if it gets worse under Trump, that's okay. And by the way, I agree with you, Rosemary. I absolutely
about
do.
What?
I'm about to say, if you just let me freeze my head here for a moment. I came in this morning, and all Ray wanted to talk about was whether I wanted my head frozen.
All right, we're going to talk about that later.
Okay. Talk about politics. You're on a roll here.
Yeah, right. But I forgot. So
freeze your head right now.
You agree with me on the point that
nothing. No, I agree with you. I agree with you that in general, that Trump can win. I think you're absolutely right about that. And I think what we're missing here is what it is about Trump that makes him so attractive to the American people and to the American voter. And the answer is they are sick to death of inside politics. And interestingly, both Bernie has attracted people and Trump because they are the anti-establishment people. And I am with you right down the line. I think that Trump can win.
Well, before you leap to that conclusion, let's see if he even gets the nomination.
By the way, I agree with that, too. In other words, these two are sitting here saying it looks like this is what's going to happen. But in fact... The Republican insiders are so, committed to getting rid of this guy that they may cut their own self in half.
They'll hoist themselves on their own baton.
Very nicely done. There are many Bernie supporters, and there's the argument about whether they would vote for Hillary. I think there is a fairly large chunk of Republican voters who will have a tough time pulling that switch for or whatever, the paper ballot for Donald Trump now. So I think that argument may, in fact, be more germane to the Republican side than the Democrats.
Well,
you're
going to have a lot of Democrats voting for Trump.
Do you all remember?
Do you think?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's.
Do you all remember in the beginning when we all made fun of Trump? And say, oh, come on, he can't, he won't. He's a clown. He's a
remember
this,
when
he's that.
At the the White House Correspondents Dinner and Barack Obama goes, oh, and Donald Trump is here. Yeah, he's still here. And everybody had a great big laugh.
Except
I wonder
Donald.
If he's still thinking about that.
Who, Obama or Trump?
Both. Because I think that's what prompted it.
Yeah,
but I'm with you on this one, Rosemary. I don't have any doubt. Yep. That Trump could win this election.
Well, Bernie's going to once again reassess his campaign, but I think it's pretty clear based on his comments last night that he is now...
He can't have it. So what he wants to do is influence the way in which the party...
Well, he already has. So
listen to Hillary. He already has. You're right.
He already
Libby.
Has. So, let's unify the party. Let's just unify the party.
Don't listen to Hillary. Hillary is saying, thank you, Mr. Bernie, and all of your followers. She's saying that so that they come over and do what they have to do. She's being gracious. You think that this woman who is, a little bit rightish, a little bit conservative-ish, is going to take a look at the Democratic Party platform and say, okay, this is what people don't follow the platform. They just put it in.
Yeah, I agree. What is the point of influencing and getting a platform? He could write it himself. And platforms, when are they followed?
He's got to have
the candidate.
He wants to have his head frozen. And I'll
wait for that. Wait for it.
The platform does mean something. When you're talking about social issues and economic issues, the platform does mean something. And it's, you can't run as a Republican in this country anymore without being anti-choice. And that Republican platform is anti-choice. And I think that the Democratic platform will move a little more
to the left.
Yeah. She will embrace that messaging. I think she's been there for the most part. And it's just a matter of presentation and style. And people will, the bottom line here is it's the Supreme Court.
Yeah, maybe she'll go explain it to the corporations.
It's the Supreme Court.
I would love to think that.
Alan, wouldn't say no to that $100,000.
Yes, I would.
No, you wouldn't.
Wait a second. I've been libeled here, slandered. Ouch. I want to make it clear that when I am offered money to give speeches, and believe it or not, I am, I don't take it.
Yeah. Can we give you money not to speak?
And I don't take it. And that is, go freeze your head.
Wait for it. All right, listen, let's take a break. There was a great opinion piece in the New York Times by Frank Bruni called The Cult of Sore Losers.
Right.
We'll get some email, and we'll also talk about sore losers coming up on the roundtable.
Support for WAMC comes from MKC Kitchen and Bath Center, Troy, offering a range of cabinetry, including Showplace wood products, countertops, design services, and showroom. MKCKitchens.com. Utica College, working to help solve the college affordability issue with its tuition reset initiative, utica.edu/affordable. And the office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock, orthodontic, cosmetic, and general dentistry, now accepting new patients, woodstockdentist.com.
Got you under my skin. It's 9:24. It's the roundtable. Gosh, we have had a great time today. That's the end of the show, everyone. So long. No, actually, it's going to go on and on. It's the roundtable panel. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Ray Graff in for Joe. We're joined by Alan Shartok. I don't want to not mention your name.
Again.
Also, Rosemary Armeo and Libby Post. Alan, do we have anything in the old mailbag before we get into the cult of sore losers?
Sure. Okay, from Al, says, your overstating of Trump's flaws sensationalize him as much as the media outlets you are accusing. I think that's a good point. The biggest issue is economic security. Careful, some Bernie people will vote for Trump as a pro-economic vote. Clinton's record on trade is suspect. Alan. Okay. And Benny says, you can't expect people to unify around a crook. You just can't. Your friend Benny. Somebody get that one?
I think talking about...
I don't know who
Hillary?
You're talking about.
Well, you're talking about Hillary.
As you know, each of these people is trying to now identify, find the weak point of the other one, and to identify for the voters who they are. So in the same way that Trump talked about your little Marco and lying Ted, he's now calling her whatever.
Crooked. Alan, you've been following political campaigns since Reconstruction. Have you seen a general election where there are two major party candidates with this many negatives going head to head?
Well, actually, if you go back in history to Thomas Jefferson and all the rest, it was pretty vicious. And since you mentioned it, I thought Abraham Lincoln, since you said I was been around since Reconstruction,
that's right.
I thought Abraham Lincoln got his share of, negative comment also. I saw him there.
Which was the presidential? There was one presidential race early on where they really went after the wife. I can't remember who it was, but they really went after somebody.
No, way back.
Yeah,
Jackson,
way back.
It was Jackson.
Jackson's wife, yeah, Andrew Jackson's wife. They really went after her.
Yeah. Rachel.
Yeah, that was a good film. Anyway, Gray says,
life at one time.
when Bernie pleads with his supporters to get out and support Hillary, will they refuse to listen? No.
No, of course not.
If they are true believers in Bernie, his integrity, his knowledge, his love for America, they will honor his request and vote Democratic. And Carol says, hi, just very quickly, we're extending this. No, that's something
that's
wrong. That was just wrong.
Sorry, Carol.
Sorry, Carol. Today's show. Alan's worried that Trump can be elected, just like he's always terribly worried that we won't make the pledge goal.
Point well taken.
No,
nicely
it
done.
Is not a point well taken. Well, I am always worried we're not going to make
it. No, and that's
true. I know you are.
That's why we have fund drive meetings the day after the fund drive ends. It's the next planning for the next one begins. We had one yesterday.
The Clintonites, says Jay, threw progressives under the bus 25 years ago. Party loyalty deserves reciprocity, and we won't get it from Clinton. As the old Vietnamese adage has it, we need to burn down the Democratic Party in order to save it.
Oh,
and that is very dangerous.
Oh, God.
Well, I think both parties are at that point.
Well, no. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again, that the left sometimes, especially the comfortable left, the people who have enough, say it doesn't really matter. In order for us, we have a liberal arts education. We're going to burn down the party so that we can start over, and we'll vote for Trump, right, or for Cruz. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, they can speak out of their privilege because they have so much privilege. They don't have to worry.
And by the way, that's true. And the communists used to do the same.
Rosemary's rolling her eyes.
It's this Susan Sarandon all over again. Yeah, right. It's communistic. Sorry, I hate it.
Tim Robbins said it too.
They're
not married anymore.
I know.
No, they're not married anymore.
No, they're separated.
They must email.
She dumped him.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Said Shaw. If Trump is elected president, the most important person in the country will be the VP, because after 6 months, President Trump will say, I'm smart. Everybody else is stupid. No one will listen to me. I quit. You write them, I read them. Yeah. Okay. James says, calm down, roundtable. Hillary will beat Trump. 2, the coverage Trump has received is not excessive. No matter what your feelings are about Trump, he's one of the greatest political savants of the modern era. Okay.
Like idiot savants? Is that what you said?
Savant. Okay. Yeah.
You know, really?
He's not an idiot.
And you savant.
I'd feel better if I thought he were.
Charles said, Charlie from Pine Bush.
Hi, Charlie.
I'm worried that more liberal, marginalized voters will side with Trump rather than Clinton, than conservative marginalizers will turn to Clinton. Okay.
We have about 15 seconds here.
Okay, James says, the platform is meaningless. Stop. Hillary will say one thing and do another. Nevertheless, I will vote for the Democratic candidate.
Fair enough. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, and I've been asked to mention that we post all our segments online at wamc.org/roundtable. Ah, but there's a caveat. All segments, including this panel conversation, should you be insane enough to want to hear it again, will be posted at 1 p.m. or by 1 p.m., so don't write me at 10:45 saying, where's the panel? Just have some patience. And while you have some patience, listen to the Brits. We'll take a break. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC 9:33. It's a Wednesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe, and it's the Roundtable panel. Rosemary Armeo is here, Libby Post, and Alan Shartok, and you by emailing roundtable@wamc.org if you wish. I don't know if anybody on the panel had a chance to read this from today's New York Times. An op-ed piece by Frank Bruni, The Cult of Sore Losers.
It was a great piece.
Bernie Sanders isn't losing. Just ask many of his backers or listen to some of his own complaints. He's being robbed, a victim of antiquated rules, voter suppression, shady arithmetic, and corrupt Democratic establishment. Donald Trump isn't winning. Just ask Ted Cruz, by whose strange and self-serving logic it is the will of the people, his actual words, that he and John Kasich collude to prevent Trump from amassing a majority of delegates so that some runner-up with less demonstrable support can leapfrog past him to become the Republican presidential nominee. Democracy in action. It's a pretty powerful piece.
Yeah,
it is.
Anybody want to say anything about it?
No, I think it was a pretty powerful piece. But by the way, we got a letter, you'll be glad to know, from Chris in Saratoga Springs, Raymond, who said Alan was the first person introduced by Ray.
See,
this
I thought
morning.
So. I thought
well,
so.
Well, you thought so, but none of us thought
well, but
so.
But the listener, yeah. Okay.
Well, to turn
okay.
the attention back yeah. from Thank Alan you. To the future president of the United States.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Yeah, I do think there's something to be said for being gracious and following a format, which is if you lose, if you can't win it, you back out. You throw support back to the party. You find any positives you can, or if worse comes to worse, you just kind of, you know, bite your tongue and vote for the party that's
going to
put
it in. So if it were the other way around, would you be saying that?
I did it when Hillary lost to Obama in 2008. Yeah. Absolutely, I did that. Yeah, and she did too. You have to. And you don't have to have pure thoughts like, oh, I really love Obama. You don't have to say I'm doing this for completely altruistic reasons. You do it for the form. For just the show of it. And we are not seeing anybody. You remember I complained about Martin O'Malley. Why was he still in the race? I'll say it now about Kasich. What the heck is he doing in this race?
He's trying to become president.
For the free food.
Just he is losing. He is a loser.
Well, no.
No,
I don't agree with you. He has a shot if they can stop him.
Right.
I mean, Cruz is the chief stopper, right? Cruz says, is making the hypothetical, whatever, that if they stop him and they make it an open convention, then he, Cruz, will be the nominee. Wrong. They hate him. Kasich believes, since he's the more moderate and can
sort of
prove
kind
that.
Of. He's
that,
just nicer.
That's right. That he will be the nominee. Yeah. That's why he's still there, yeah. Rosemary.
But it's just complete self-interest. It has nothing to do with the party or the country.
Oh, and when does that stop?
That's what we're talking about. It should be the way it should be rather than the way that it is.
All right,
that we allow.
Libby is raising her hand. Okay, so let's make this look at the McLaughlin group. Eleanor Clift, go ahead.
I just want to pivot from the presidential race for a minute to really what this article was about. And that is, we have lost our ability to be gracious in defeat.
Bingo.
And that's what this piece was about. I mean, people, you know, Diane Savino, who's in the State Senate, posted this on Facebook this morning and said something about, you know, everybody gets a trophy, you know, and everybody's got to be a winner. And, you know, the fact is that not everybody is a winner. And we need to learn once again to be gracious in defeat, that not all of us are going to win. And when you aren't going to win, you then reach out to the people who have won, especially in politics, and you come together for the greater good of the politic, which is, in this case, making sure the Supreme Court doesn't go down the rabbit hole.
But
the fact is that we have lost our ability to be gracious in defeat, and that's what this piece was really about. Yes, Alan?
Is there a period there? Okay, so...
Period.
Okay, so...
End of story.
So here's my question. Diane Savino, who you're quoting, is she one of those, the group of the senators who went over to the other side?
Yeah, but I'm not talking about
Excuse
that.
Me.
No.
I'm
no,
not
so
done.
What?
All right,
I'm
you
not
kids,
done
if I have
yet.
To stop this show.
I'm not done yet.
Okay,
I,
go right
I just want to make the point. You're talking about graciousness and losing easily. The Democrats in the Senate host the 455 now, people who went over to make common cause with the Republicans because they were so ticked off at their own party. And I ask you, and I put you on the stand,
right.
It demands a yes or no. Yes or no, Libby, she was one of them.
Yes, she was.
So now what, you want to talk to me about graciousness?
No, I want to make the point that not everybody should get a trophy.
Time out. And a good point. And there's a problem with that in America. Now, the best paragraph in Frank Bruni's piece, and this is the little back and forth between you two, is emblematic of what he says here. But there's more at work. The refusal to grant victors legitimacy bundles together so much about America today. The coarseness of our discourse, the blind tribalism coloring our debates, the elevation of individualism far above common purpose, the ethos that everybody should and can feel like a winner every day. That is what this is all about. And you, sir, are exacerbating the problem.
What is that?
Because you're yelling and screaming.
I'm not yelling and I'm not screaming. I'm just trying to get a word in edgewise.
Well, Libby made a valid point and you shot her down.
No, it wasn't the valid point. She was showing...
Boy, I get the gold star now because I was
That's
the
right.
girl.
That's
right.
She was mentioning a state senator who was criticizing...
I was mentioning her Facebook post.
I never get to finish this. I'm just saying, she was mentioning a state senator who posted Bruni, as we say around here, on the Facebook to show that not everybody is gracious, and she was a sore loser.
Okay, let's move on.
Fine. I think you make a point. Okay, the email address is roundtable.
You win and get the trophy, Alan.
He gets a participation trophy. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. And boy, we'd welcome some of your emails right about now.
We have plenty.
Really? Why don't you read one or two? You know, Dennis Hastert is in front of a judge at this moment.
Oh, yeah, no.
To learn his punishment in the hush money case centered on sex abuse allegations.
He should go to jail for a lot longer.
Well, he's old.
Well, he's 74.
So what? Let him spend the rest of his life in jail for abusing kids.
I'm not going to argue the point.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. We should have that news anytime now. You got an email or two you want to read before we take a break here, Chief?
Yeah, I'll do what you want. Thank you, Ray. I love it when Ray is the moderator.
You see.
Jeffrey says, teach you to give Joe a day off. And I swear I didn't put those right after each other, but there you are.
That's funny.
Effective Trump U case. Now that the court has let this case go forward, will this affect change in the Trump campaign, the Trump University?
That's going to be before a judge soon.
Right. Yeah, he brushed that off in his extended free news conference last night by saying, it's an easy case to win, don't bother me.
Hillary's done the same thing with the email. It's an easy case to win.
No, Hillary has not done the same thing. Sure, Trump makes a big deal of that, even though there's not even an indictment.
She went before a congressional committee to talk about it.
Yeah,
didn't brush it off. And what I read this morning is he might end up having to testify on the case during the campaign.
Bill Clinton had to go sit in the well of the Senate after he was impeached. Yes, he was impeached.
Yeah.
And to defend himself, it happens.
Yeah, but he wasn't campaigning then, Alan. Not the same thing.
Okay. John says, you kids better stop with your childish behavior.
Agreed.
Do not make Ray pull this show over.
Exactly. I will, too. We'll go right home.
And
are we all in the big station
Alex
wagon?
Says, Ray G is funny. I don't get this.
Yes, you do. It's an expletive.
Ray G is funny. S.T. Explanation.
Okay, yeah, you don't want to say the whole word.
What word?
Oh, God.
Everyone calm down, or I'm calling Joe.
Yes, well, we're all going to call Joe.
Mike says, it seems like Rosemary has such disdain for Kasich because he's beat Hillary in all the polls. Calling him a loser sounds like something Trump would say, Rosemary.
I reject all polls, as you know. I'm not a big fan of polls. I don't think asking him now about a match that will never happen is meaningful at all. And I have called for Martin O'Malley to leave. I think I don't want to call Bernie to quit because that will bring all the Bernie crazies down on me.
Oh, God. But why just saying that is enough.
I know.
Believe
why
me.
Is he still in? What are you really? It seems to me that if he got out of the race and sat down with Hillary and said, okay, I want an ironclad deal with you. Here's what you're going to do.
I think that would
be more effective. I don't understand why Cruz is still doing this. We have elections, and there gets to a point where the inevitable is going to happen, and people hang on.
I take great exception to you say calling the Bernieites crazy.
Many of them are.
Oh, well, you didn't say that. The crazy Bernieites. I mean, that's not gracious at all.
When I said the Bernie crazy Bernieites, I was referring to that small but significant segment of them, which see Bernie or bust. I believe that's their own self-label.
Okay, so Susan said, Alan is right. And also people are more gracious when losing a fair and transparent contest. Burners are not convinced that this is the case, and that says more about the process. And Barbara says, I get acid reflux every time I hear Alan say he doesn't get a word in edgewise.
That's pretty funny.
Is there a setting on his Fitbit that can count the number of words coming out of his mouth?
Now that's funny.
And Steven says, so old age is a get out of jail card? Who said it was?
No, you guys all say he should do time.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Horrible. Yeah.
People put words in your mouth. That's not nice. That ain't nice. You know, nice. Okay. Yay, Libby, says EJ. You rock, man. Absolutely. He should rot in jail. Thanks for your boldness and greatness. Love also to Alan, Rosemary, Joe, and Ray. Love you, all you guys. Is there a channel I can listen in on when I move to Southern Maine come Friday? Of course.
Oh, yeah.
You get the WAMC app.
Yeah.
You just download it, and you can listen to us anywhere in the world. And I mean in the world.
And we'll see you up in Maine this summer.
Yeah.
We go every year. It's great. Love Southern Maine.
Yeah, yeah, with the rocks and the beach.
Up in York, oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And you can't get in the water because it's too cold.
We swim the entire time.
Do you?
Yes. Oh. Well, the kids don't, but the martinis help me. I'll tell you that.
Bonnie, who never fails to take a shot. Yay, Ray. Panel, Alan is more partisan than he's willing to admit. Further of late, he seems to be thinner skinned than usual.
Is
what
that possible?
Weird diet is he on now? What weird diet is he on now?
You need a candy bar, Alan.
Well, no, I am on my latest weird diet. It's true.
What is your new diet? Hold it.
It's starvation, basically.
Well, that is ridiculous.
You know, what happens is I'm sort of pre-diabetic, don't you know?
Whatever. You're pre-everything. Come on.
No, I am.
You're Felix Unger.
Pre means you don't have it.
No, it means you almost have it.
It means you have a propensity.
Yeah.
And he's got a propensity, all right,
And you almost have it. And therefore... I read in the paper that diabetes is reversible.
It certainly is.
It is reversible if, in fact, you lose a lot of weight, and that this is being proven now. So I've decided to try it.
Dude, you weigh 87 pounds. How much can you lose?
I mean, if you looked at me, yes, a lot of weight. You, there's not much left to lose.
You'd be a stick figure. You'd be two-dimensional.
This is making me hungry.
I know, right?
And,
well, maybe Alan will give you some of his grass clippings after the show. Delicious.
Okay. Andrew makes a very good point. Any Clinton supporter who refers to Bernie supporters as crazy has nobody but themselves to blame when Bernie supporters don't come out for Hillary.
I'm the reason Hillary's going to not get your vote.
Could be.
Okay, sure.
Could be.
Is there any chance that Bernie is the VP?
What? No.
There's sort of great animosity.
No, if they were going to do that.
Strange bedfellows in politics.
No, if they were going to do that, if they felt they were so desperate to get the Bernieites out, they would nominate, what's the name, from Massachusetts, of course.
There were a lot of Bernieites. That is a sizable faction of the party at this point.
Yeah, so Elizabeth Warren would be the nominee if they were desperate to do that.
Huh? I don't know. I think there are some people who would say, no, he isn't on the top of the ticket. I'm still not voting for it.
Well, that's true. Okay. Question. That I want a Republican to win at all because, as Libby said, it's all about the Supreme Court. However, it is not likely that a Trump presidency could be better for the left than Cruz? And if so, why so much talk about the media's obsession with Trump?
Because it's unprecedented. We have never had a candidate to whom we have given this sort of time and attention. The estimates of how much free time he has had compared to other candidates is just striking, and it's growing. That's why, and also because he has been so successful despite the opposition of his party's establishment and the media. He has gotten rid of all of the usual filters between a candidate and a person.
Idealistic not to see the economics of this? But if you're a programmer, you run a cable network,
CNN,
who cares?
There is a disturbing,
connection
between the two. Of course I know.
I mean,
that.
He's more compelling TV than watching Kasich eat a pancake.
And if
certainly nauseating. I'll admit that.
And Rosemary, if you were in the owner of CNN's spot or the producer's spot, would you not be doing the same thing?
I think that is the problem, that we have a system that is set up that way.
So you would.
It's the same with Megyn Kelly.
I need a yes or no.
I'd like to think I wouldn't, but I think my job would depend on it, Alan.
Exactly.
It's set up that way. And look at Megyn Kelly, who took a very principled stand, did nothing wrong, and then she goes and makes peace with him and now is touting an interview with Trump. Wow, that's exactly what we need, Megyn. Another in-depth interview with Donald Trump.
But, I mean, there's a simple way that you can stop that. You, Rosemary, and everybody who agrees with Rosemary, and that's not to watch. But you watch, and everybody watches.
We catch you watching all the time.
I watch so I can talk about it here, video. And so I scream at the TV, but...
But still, you watch, right?
I didn't watch it all. It was too much. It's just too much. You can't watch. Whole rallies of his are broadcast. You don't see that happening with the other
candidates. Dan says, oh, my God, Rosemary, Trump is brilliant.
I think he is brilliant. And I think that's why it's so interesting to talk about how he has gotten where he is. And you are crazy if you don't think his use of the media is part of it.
Okay. Then we heard from someone who did not. Oh, yeah, Brian. Democrats have to remember great advice from former Congressman Barney Frank, quoting Henry Youngman. How's your wife?
Take my wife, please.
Yeah. I knew there was something wrong there. And how's your wife?
Compared to what?
Compared to what? How is Hillary Bernie compared to Trump? Either of them is better. Great job this morning my two friends, Libby and Rosemary.
Aww.
Love you.
You have two
too.
Friends. Oh, that's nice.
Love you too.
The email. You want to do more? You want me to take
a
break?
No, you're in charge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're
I'm in charge here. You're all fired. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. Roundtable at WAMC.org. I'm sure we'll read some more. Let's take a break.
Support for WAMC comes from New York Pain Management, offering pain management for chronic pain and spine care in a private office setting with Drs. Charles Gordon and Quentin Fung. Be set free, nypainfree.com. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com. And Lake George Kayak Company, a kayak, canoe, and stand-up paddleboard center providing sales, rentals, and lessons. LakeGeorgeKayak.com.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's 9:50. Gosh dang it, it's been wonderful. It's Wednesday. It's almost over. Just hang in there. Hey, who wants to live forever? $200,000 for a shot at immortality. This is from CNBC. In the desert climate of Scottsdale, Arizona, rest 147 brains and bodies, all frozen in liquid nitrogen, with the goal of being revived one day. They call it cryonics. The company is Alcor. The moment a doctor declares a patient dead, Alcor's team then prepares an ice bath and begins administering 16 medications and variations of antifreeze until the patient's temperature drops to near freezing. Alcor stations equip teams in the UK, Canada, and Germany, and then they fly the corpse-ish to Scottsdale where they're frozen. And then, now, if you only have $80,000.
Yeah, $80,000 only gets your part.
They cut off your head they freeze it. I call that the Ted Williams method.
Yes, but so presumptively, what happens, Ray? I don't get it. If it's only your head, let's say they figure out how to get you back, what do? Put your head on somebody else?
No, they could.
They grow a new one.
Yeah,
they grow a new body for you.
In theory, then the DNA would be used to grow a new body from
your
neck,
But what's the
sir.
Use of that if you're going to get the same old body, you know?
That's a good point. A good point. Now, for $200,000, they'll freeze the whole body.
Yeah.
And they say that sounds like a lot, but most people pay with life insurance. So, I mean, the simple question I have now...
Life insurance that might otherwise go to your wife and your husband.
I mean, you know, who would be egotistical enough to want to live forever?
Oh, now you set the whole... now you set the whole...
That was brilliant.
I can't... My problem is this. What happens if I say yes? And, you know, I mean, everybody would like to attain immortality. Freud spoke of this at some length, the fear of death and all the rest. However, what I'm worried about is that I'll come back. And
Roselle won't be there?
No, she'll have married somebody.
Yeah, the milkman. Oh, whoops. Roselle, who's that?
No, I would never.
You would not do this, Rosemary?
I would never consider doing this. My sister has donated her body to medical science and believes, and that kind of
she's still alive though, right?
She is, but it's in her will, and I think that's pretty brave. I can't even see myself doing that. It's so ghoulish to me, and yet that's very courageous. She'll live on, and perhaps in someone finding something
in somebody's
based
pancreas.
On her. Yeah, well, and someone perhaps finding some medical breakthrough working on her body. So that's a way to get immortality, or Harriet Tubman or Abraham Lincoln kind of immortality, but not having someone cut off and freeze my head. Oh, no.
Well, why don't you do the whole body?
Never.
200
no,
G's, Rosemary.
No,
Alan's got a couple hundred thousand.
Burn it up.
I do.
You can freeze your whole thing.
Burn it up, fertilize a tree. That's my idea.
Well, Libby, what
like
about you?
No.
No?
No.
Simple? No?
Simple.
You, Ray?
Oh, absolutely.
I think the whole
not.
Thing is absurd.
So I'm the only one?
Well, I mean, you're going to freeze my brain? What are you going to get? I mean, seriously.
Freeze dried.
You think
brains?
I'm going to even begin to take that slow ball right over the knees?
I got
to
tell you, sir. I think this is the West.
Was
gone...
that a sports metaphor that came
yes.
out of Alan?
Yes.
Wow. How'd you learn
a
that?
A slow ball. He learned that from Ted Cruz, the basketball ring. Did you hear that?
basketball ring?
Yeah.
Oh,
talking
my
about
goodness.
The hoop. It is circular.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah.
Ouch.
The basketball ring.
Wow.
Way to connect with the cops.
One more reason to hate him.
It's like George Bush. Now, what is that thing? Oh, that's a cash register, sir. You know, you're not really going to connect with the common man in that fashion.
I didn't know that they could scan things.
How about them Mets?
They're doing great.
They are, but they're not in first place. The Nationals are in first place.
Honey, it's early in the season.
Libby Post, you know, the respect I have for you grows every moment.
Right. I mean, I'm a diehard Mets fan. I came from Long Island. That's what we did. It's just that simple.
Cruz has a major announcement at 4 p.m. Think he's going to drop out?
No.
No, he's going to name Kasich as his running mate.
Do you think so?
He might. Yeah. He might.
Do you think that's very interesting?
I think it could be one of the, you know, it could be Kasich Cruz or Cruz Kasich.
No, it's not going to be Kasich Cruz.
It's like a horse race, one and one A. Or more like a dog race. Yeah. Any more emails?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got a few minutes here.
Robert says, Alan, please poll the panel on who is or isn't an organ donor. I wouldn't do that simply because
I am.
I am.
I don't think that's right.
Well, I haven't thought about it yet.
Yeah, I am. Okay. It's on my license.
Okay.
Yeah, it's time to think about it. Prince died without a will.
Yeah.
His estate could be worth as much as Elvis's. He has no will. That is a mess.
Well, I think that's a different issue than,
right? It's similar. I mean, you have to think of these end-of-life issues before you face the end of life.
Right.
And Joni says, good grief, Bernie, Hillary, Elizabeth Warren, Trump, Kasich, all older than me, most of them born in the 1940s.
Yeah.
After Obama was born in the 60s, the Democratic VP nominee does not have to be younger than me, at least no more baby boomers on the ticket.
Ouch.
And it's from Joni, parenthesis, 1953.
Okay, Joni.
Excuse me, I'm 1958.
Excuse me, I'm 1941.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
What are you, Rosemary?
I'm an organ donor.
All right, well played.
Spoken like a woman who never talks about her age.
All right, fine.
And Stephen says, I'm donating my body to a med school. All I request is a good table.
Thank you for your service, Steve. I think that's
a good
great.
Table in the corner with your back to the
Oh my God. I know.
Okay.
I want a brilliant president. I thank you, Rosemary, but I'm not sure HRC will. See, is a double, triple,
I'm
quadruple.
Sure
maybe vice
means.
President?
Big out. Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
We'll be a brilliant president.
Okay. Dear Roundtable, why is the DNC?
Brilliant. Oh, dear.
Okay.
I'm not going to say what
it's. Sorry. We're paying attention now.
Why has the DNC worked so hard to support Hillary with her high unfavorably rating? Bernie has high favorables.
The question. If Trump and Hillary run, have we seen an election where there were so many negatives on both party candidates?
It's always that.
Who do you hate less will be the winner.
That's right.
It's
but you've
always
got to make a decision.
Right. It's always the lesser of two evils.
But sometimes presidential candidates are liked. Barry was liked, at least the first time around, right?
Barry Goldwater?
Barack.
Oh, Barack Obama, yes. Yeah. And the second time.
And Rick says, care to start a pool on how many days into a Trump administration will be the first impeachment offense? Rick, you know, do you all remember Spiro Agnew?
Yes.
He did not get pushed out. He wasn't impeached, but he got pushed out, as you remember.
Yeah.
He had to resign.
He was
no
indicted.
Low contendere. Don't you remember that?
Right, yeah. Right. Tax evasion.
Okay. It was because, no.
Bribery.
No,
paying
it was
off,
because
contractors.
It's because he was,
home.
Yeah, he was when he was the county administrator or the county exec. That's when he got into his trouble.
I thought it was governor of Maryland.
I think it was before
that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think. Somebody will correct me, of course. But I think that's right. It wasn't what he did then, and you know
that's
Trump's got a lot.
Formerly.
Trump's got a lot out there.
Yeah,
so.
He certainly does.
Yeah. You
four
want more
wives.
Or not?
Hey, give me one or two more, and then
three
we'll get
wives,
out of here.
Four bankruptcies. Okay. There's a lot of things out there for him.
Tricia says, "Panel, we did that one. No, Libby is right. The unfair amount of coverage for Trump is all over social media this AM. They're treating him like he's president already."
No, that was Rosemary, but
for the props. That's okay.
And somebody called to apologize. I don't know.
Okay.
There's a very funny internet joke going around. It shows Barack Obama laughing, and he's saying, "I'm really sorry. I keep trying to read Trump's autobiography, and I just can't get through it. Every page goes back to chapter 11.
Oh, that's very clever. That's very good. That's very good. All right. Well, let's leave on that one. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. And if I haven't mentioned that he's here, Alan Chartok was here. And boy, it was great to have you.
And it was great to serve under you, Ray.
Yes, we look forward to freezing your head at some point.
Yeah.
Rosemary Armeo, thanks a lot for being here.
I want to talk to Alan's head. You think it would talk back?
Oh, I don't think it'll ever shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, death won't be a hindrance. Libby Post, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ray.
Thank you all for listening. Hey, hour two is on the way. It's got to be better than this. We'll come back.